This Candelis had become passionately in love with his own wife, and having become so, he deemed that his wife was fairer by far than all other women. To Gyges, the son of Daskylus, for he of all his spearmen was the most pleasing to him, he used to describe the beauty of his wife, praising it above all measure. "Are you listening, Geoffrey?"
"Yes, my darling."
He said to Gyges, "Gyges, I think that you do not believe me when I tell you of the beauty of my wife, for it happens that men's ears are less apt of belief than their eyes. Contrive, therefore, means by which you may look upon her naked."
"There are several things one can say, knowing that eventually I will become her lover, just as Gyges will be the queen's lover and murderer of Candelis. I would often open Herodotus for a clue to geography, but Catherine had done that as a window to her life." Her voice was weary as she read, her eyes only on the page where the story was, as if she were sinking within quicksand while she spoke.
"I believe indeed that she is of all women the fairest, and I entreat you not to ask of me that which it is not lawful for me to do." But the king answered him thus, "Be of good courage, Gyges, and have no fear either of me, that I am saying these words to try you, or of my wife, lest any harm may happen to you from her. For I will contrive it so from the first that she will not perceive that she has been seen by you." This is the story of how I fell in love with a woman who read me a specific story from Herodotus. I heard the words she spoke across the fire, never looking up, even when she teased her husband. Perhaps she was just reading it to him. Perhaps there was no ulterior motive in the selection except for themselves. It was simply a story that had jarred her in its familiarity of situation. But a path suddenly revealed itself in real life. Even though she had not conceived it as a first errant step in any way, I am sure. "I will place you in the room where we sleep, behind the open door. And after I have gone in, my wife will also come to lie down. Now there is a seat near the entrance of the room, and on this she lays her garments as she takes them off one by one, and so you will be able to gaze at her at full leisure. But Gyges is witnessed by the queen when he leaves the bedchamber. She understands then what has been done by her husband, and though ashamed, she raises no outcry. She holds her peace." "It is a strange story, is it not, Caravaggio? The vanity of a man to the point where he wishes to be envied, or he wishes to be believed, for he thinks he is not believed. This was in no way a portrait of Clifton, but he became a part of this story. There is something very shocking but human in the husband's act. Something makes us believe it." The next day the wife calls in Gyges and gives him two choices. "There are now two ways open to you, and I will give you the choice which of the two you will prefer to take. Either you must slay Candelis and possess both me and the kingdom of Lydia, or you must yourself here on the spot be slain, so that you mayest not in future, by obeying Candelis in all things, see that which you should not. Either he must die who formed this design, or you who have looked upon me naked." So the king is killed. A new age begins. There are poems written about Gyges in iambic trimeters. He was the first of the barbarians to dedicate objects at Delphi. He reigned as king of Lydia for 28 years, but we still remember him as only a cog in an unusual love story. She stopped reading and looked up, out of the quicksand. She was evolving, so power changed hands. Meanwhile, with the help of an anecdote, I fell in love. Words, Caravaggio, they have a power.